Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I want to start with what God has laid on my heart today. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to the children or to our children in our bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, handed on for them to do the same. You might say, I've heard that before. Well, Ronald Reagan is the one who said that. And I really, really like that quote. Freedom's never more than one generation away. And I've been thinking about that statement and how each generation changes some. I mean, it does. Just each generation's a little different than the last. And there's some things that get changed. Now, it's not much, but it's enough to move the thinking of how our world operates today from one generation to the next. A verse that I will always continue to share because it changed the way that my wife and I operated and our family was changed was Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord builds. Now, the NLT says a house. Other translations say the house. Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. I don't want to build a house and waste my time. See, as we're building things in this life, I want it to be to avail. I want it to prosper. I want it to work. See, unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries won't do no good. Unless God's in on your game, you aren't doing anything that's worth anything. See, God's got to be in what you're doing. Now, a couple of weeks ago, October 31st, my message was get them to Jesus. Now, this is a very important concept. We need to place our children in His presence. Not just get them near Him, but right in front of Him, near Him. And I'm not going to go back and teach all that. If you want to listen to that, you can. But we've got to place our children in His presence. And here's why. So they can establish a relationship with Him. Now, I'm not here to sit here and try to explain everything that you've got to do in your home to raise a child today. That's not what I'm doing. But what I am doing is this is a two-part operation in what this church stands for when it comes to our children. We're not just having them. We're raising them. I'll get more into that in just a second. But here's the thing. The two parts this. You get them to Jesus to establish a relationship. Here's what I've watched. I've watched a lot of families bring their kids to church and try to establish a bunch of rules without relationship. And rules without relationship will never work. But relationship without some standards and rules can get you in some serious trouble. So, without kids establishing a relationship with Jesus, anything else you do will get them to leave the church at 18. Let me just say that again. Without you doing everything in your power to establish your kids into a relationship, an opportunity for a relationship with Jesus, you just coming to church and trying to implement a bunch of rules will not work for you. It's just not going to. And so the devil is so stinking smart, and I'm not trying to give him any credit today, but he's been around a long time, and he moves people's thinking just a little bit at a time. And if he can get you off just a little bit, and it seemed like it's no big deal, then the next generation, it becomes a bigger deal. And then we go back and we look five generations ago, and we think, what happened to our world? And the older I get, I'm looking back over some generations and I'm just kind of amazed at how big a deal just a little bit of change made. You say, well, what? See, if we could go and we could get a fresh starting point, and we can, and I'm going to get to that here in a second, but we get a place to where we start fresh and quit looking back at everybody else and blaming them for the failures, and we say, okay, as Christian, as God's people, right now, we're going to make a fresh start. We're going to do it different. Make some adjustments. We're going to get things going where they need to be. I've said this for years. No one ever ends up a drunk one day and loses everything and says, man, I'm so thankful for that first drink. See, no one ever does that. I mean, people that have dealt with alcohol issues, either in their family, someone close to them, or maybe yourself, got in that addiction, you never look back and say, man, I'm so glad I tried that first drink. No, they're sick about it. And it's the same thing with drugs. Man, I'm just so glad that one night I was just going to do it one time. And now I'm hooked on it. And I don't know of anybody who hasn't had drugs or alcohol affect their family. I didn't intend on losing my job. I didn't intend on losing my kids. No, it was just that one thing that you didn't think was a big deal. See, it was that one way that you slipped in what we were feeding our kids. And then we end up, where are we at here? Where are we at? No one ever takes that first hit and then loses everything they dreamed of years later and goes back and goes, boy, that one night, that first hit was worth everything. It was awesome. No one ever does that. See, what the Bible says that we're battling against, I think we miss. Ephesians. Ephesians talks about this in chapter 6, verse 12. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Let me just tell you, this world has some darkness to it. But we, as I have watched generation after generation come forward, the things that used to be dark don't seem quite as dark anymore. All of a sudden, we have disguised them over generation like, oh, it's not that big a deal. I want to just tell you how I appreciate you for just a moment, because I don't want you to feel condemned. I appreciate you. I appreciate Christian Ministries Church, and I appreciate you parents. Those of you that were here 2 weeks ago on our October dress up and candy supply day, you remember that day? Yeah, that the fall harvest party. We didn't dress our children up and pretend like they were on the other side. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. I just love it when we can dress up and we can play and we can do all that, but the last thing we want to do is to pretend like and glorify something from the other side. There's an enemy, and we aren't fighting against flesh and blood, so what he does is he gets our thinking off in the natural a little bit so that he can win the battle, not in flesh and blood, but spiritually speaking. We got to have some equipped Christians that are operating with God, partnering. One of the most profound things that I've ever heard was Pastor Willie George said this. And he was just talking, and he said, you know, here's what we don't get. We, as Christians, get saved, and we just turn it all over to God and act like we have no active part. And we're saying, God, if you just take this, if you just do this. And he's saying, man, if you just do what I already equipped you to do. So but he's waiting for you to do something, and you're waiting for him. And what I'm telling you, it takes both. There's a partnership. God hasn't abandoned his people. Praise God. He hasn't said, oh no, what are we going to do now? He is building, and he is building life the same way he always had, and he does it by partnering with you and I. Aren't you glad? Couldn't be more thrilled. See, what he guards, he protects, but know this, without the Lord's help, are you really protected? When you quit asking him what the plans are, then I ask you, what plans are you building by? When you quit looking at his plans and you're saying, oh God, I want you to build my house, he said, I have given you the plans. I am the builder, but you are the worker. And I need you to work according to my building plans. It's important. that we do it God's way. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. I like this. God created, he made from the ground. He built all this stuff up. And then he said, okay, Adam, what are you going to name them all? And you know, Adam didn't go, well, that ain't my job. You built me. You placed me here. No, he put them, he brought them to Adam and said, name them. I like that. He said, I'm going to partner with you, Adam. We're going to do this together. You're a part of all this. You're a part of what's going on. Aren't you glad that you got to name your own children? We had the privilege of naming our kids as parents. We pray, God, would you name our kids? And ultimately, you had to make the decision. Yeah. See, ultimately, you have to make the decision from what's from the beginning. God wanted a partner in this thing. He wanted to partner with you. He wanted a relationship with you. I've just given him to the Lord, Pastor. I've just given him to the Lord, and I know I've just entrusted him to him. Well, what are you going to do? All right, Psalm 127. We got to read further into this. I read verse 1 all the time. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his loved ones. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Now, I like it when the Bible starts talking about arrows. Just me? I have wanted to do this for years, but out of wisdom I have not, because I have missed my mark a few times. But I want so bad to bring my bow in and put a target right back there in the middle and just pull it back and shoot it all the way through. And everybody says, that's not a good idea. So I want you to know, based on safety and wisdom and counsel, I have not done that today. But I want you to know that an arrow placed correctly does some really good things. It makes life way better. It blesses you. It blesses those around you. But here's what I can tell you. If it's not aimed correctly, if it's not protected in the aim, if things don't happen right with what you're shooting it with, come on, there's so much. And I just want you to remember this principle of partnership. God doesn't shoot the bow. God doesn't shoot the bow. He gives you the bow. Now, he made the arrow that you're going to shoot. But I want you to remember this principle of partnership. You don't have to be a parent very long. And know that there are times you're ready to pull your hair out. They just are. You don't have to be a parent very long to know that. There can be some things that really try you. They can push you to your limit. But it's important for you to know that you are still the parent and God is still partnered with you to help you in this. If you missed the parenting series we did during Elevation class, we'll be doing that again soon. But it is so important that we do everything we can to learn skills to shoot our arrow. We've got to know. We've got to know our part. Now, all of that's really important. People try to do parenting all on their own so often, and they forget the partnership. They just forget the partnership. You've seen someone say, I'm just turning my kid over to God. I get that, but it doesn't release you of your parenting. That doesn't release you of your responsibility. God doesn't want you to turn your child completely over to him. Oh, Pastor, did you just say that? I did. Without you having any active part. See, you turn your child over to him because that child is his. But you still fine-tune everything that you can to get that arrow shooting where it needs to. Are you seeing that an arrow is compared to a child here? So what I want to talk about today is aiming children. Aiming children. It's just important that we aim our kids. Yeah, our kids have to be aimed. I started hunting with a bow several years ago, and I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. Now, the older I get, I have realized that I can't pull quite the weight that I used to be able to. And I understand that. I can relate everything about this to parenting, because I can watch my grandkids for a very short time and I'm like, I'm exhausted. I don't know how. As you age, you got to let down the weight a little bit. All I can tell you is there are some things you got to do a little different the older you get, but I still enjoy shooting. And there was a guy, a major archer. Now, please don't tune me out. I won't be on this all day. But Fred Bear, anybody heard of Fred Bear? A great, great archer. I mean, he started showing people the significance of how you can hunt with a bow and how powerful an arrow is. I want you to know that as I talk about this, every time I mention arrow, you think of a child. Because a child is powerful in the right hands. Powerful to change, equip a whole new generation. I'm just telling you, it'll change everything that we're seeing going on in our world right now if we could get our next generation shot correctly and aimed right. But Fred Bear hunted with a bow, and he'd do a demonstration. And here's the demonstration. I want to do this one too, but for safety reasons, I'm just going to talk about it. He would take a sandbag, and then he'd put a glass on the other side of the sandbag. And then he'd take a gun, and he would shoot a gun right at that sandbag, and you would think shooting that gun at that sandbag would break the glass on the other side, but it didn't. This was part of his illustration. He'd shoot that gun right at that sandbag. That sandbag would stop the bullet. But then he would take a bow with an arrow in it, and he would pull that back and he'd shoot it at the same sandbag, and that arrow would go right through the sandbag and break the glass. And I thought, man, how powerful is this statement? There is power behind an arrow. It's more powerful than what people think. The next generation and what we're doing with them is way more powerful than what you're thinking. Well, they're just a bunch of kids in that church, and all there is a bunch of kids. Yep. And if you don't like kids, I don't know what to tell you. There's power behind a kid. There's power behind children. There's power behind an arrow. And a lot of people shoot at a target with their bow. And if you don't care to hit your target, you're going to lose your arrow. And I'm done with losing kids. One of the goals of Christian Ministries Church is when they turned 18, they wouldn't be running off into the world. Now, I'm saying we've had a few arrows that have got lost. I get that. But for the most part, we got a pretty good percentage of our young people staying in church at age 18 and continuing to serve God. And I think that's important. I think that's important because I've lost a bunch of arrows. I've lost some kids. I understand this, but I have not ever time I lose an arrow. And I've lost a bunch of actual arrows. I'm shooting at targets and I get backed up too far and something happens and my aim isn't right and I miss that target, and that arrow, as its trajectory goes, it's going to go down, it's going to hit the grass and it's going to bury itself. And I mean, you spend hours looking for that arrow. And I have, because we had camp here and we'd shoot hundreds of arrows at camp. And just down the hill at our archery area, when I'm down there bush hogging, I'll come across and I'm like, oh, there's an arrow. Years later, it'll surface itself and it looks horrible. And I'm so saddened by young people who years later, they surface themselves and I'm like, oh man, they look horrible. Well, why don't we aim them right to start with? Why don't we aim them right? Let's do everything we can to aim correctly on the front end. The idea here is make sure you hit your target or you lose your arrow. I mean, it's that simple. Parents, make sure you hit your target or you lose your child. What are you aiming at? What are you aiming at? Some people think in Scripture, hit the target with your kid, then you're going to lose your kid. That's not the case. We are working ourselves out of a job as parents, not into one. I'm praying that if you hit the target at 18 or 19, hopefully they're not coming back needing money every time I turn the corner. If I did right in equipping them, see, I don't want them coming back and living in my house after they move out of my house. I've not found that to work real well. About every situation, I go, the kids are either mad at the parents, or the parents are like, you got to go get a job and get out of here. So I've not seen that work. Well, let's aim right the first time and hopefully equip them. Now, know this, if you don't equip them by getting them to Jesus first, not preaching that message, but they've got to be in relationship with Jesus first, and then the tools that go along with that. They both work together. We partner with God. He does what you couldn't do. He gets them eternity. He gets them access to the power of the Holy Ghost. He gets them equipped and knowing that the Bible is their guidebook for life. See, he does all this stuff, and then you teach them the things that the Bible says that we're to live by. I'm going to keep talking about that, but that's really my whole message. Just in a nutshell, that's it. This message actually came to me, believe it or not, in a deer stand last week. Because I had a very nice buck, and I've had to pray about being able to talk about this. So I'm talking about it now, and I'm confessing a little bit of some frustrations. But this doe runs by my stand, and this is the time of year that bucks lose their senses because they're interested in only one thing. And that's reproduction. And so they're following this doe, and this doe comes by, and I look down, and I'm like, right down the hill, getting ready to walk right into my shooting lane, is a really nice buck. Now, it's far enough away that I couldn't count every point, and when you know you're going to shoot it, don't get caught up on points anyway. Just make sure you're aiming correctly. So, I mean, I'm ready now. I've got my bow. I'm like, he's getting ready to walk. I was behind a tree, getting ready to shoot in the stepping lane. I pull back my bow, and I'm ready for him to walk into this. And when I pull it back, my arrow fell off. I don't cry a lot. I was fighting back a gasping. And I'm like, I'm trying to reach for here's the sad part. It didn't just fall out and didn't make any sound. Everybody in the woods knew, especially the buck. Because when it fell out, it hit my metal tree stand. It fell on the ground. Didn't just fall on the ground. It hit the fence that was underneath me. And it hits the ground. Chico's hunting with me. And he texted, what was that? And when I told him, he goes, yep, that's exactly what it sounded like. There wasn't no hiding it. That's exactly what happened. And you know, the buck looked right up at me, and I'm looking at it going. And it just turns like it went and walks right through my shooting lane, headed right towards its doe. And I'm it didn't wave at me. I waved it in. What do you do at that point? What I did is I climbed out of the tree stand and I got my arrow. And I didn't give up. I decided that that arrow was still going to be good for shooting. I had to figure out what was wrong with it at the moment. But I didn't lose the arrow. I went and picked the arrow up. And I want you to know, a lot of people are dropping their kids and they're acting like they're lost. And all they did is fail with one little deal. Go pick your arrow up and get back after it. Go pick your arrow up and get back after it. Pick your arrow up and get back after it. This message came to me as I was sitting there looking at that stinking arrow. Because I don't hardly ever look at an arrow that I don't think about something scripturally. I always, because there's so many talks in Bible about being straight. There's talks about arrow. And arrows are straight. They're equipped to do what God called them and made them to do. And if you'll shoot them right, they'll do exactly what they're, if you'll hit the target you're aiming at. I mean, there's just so many illustrations. And so I'm looking at that arrow laying there, and I'm thinking, I have responsibility here. I can cry all day long, and I was fighting it. Or I can just go get the arrow and get back after it. Oh, it's just gone too far, Pastor. Just get your aim back on. Get your aim back on. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's important that you have a philosophy of how you are aiming your kids. Now, some parents have a philosophy that they just don't want to aim. I mean, the way they were aimed by their parents, I'm not aiming like that. See, everybody here realizes at some area of your life, your parents failed. Everybody can look back and go, man, my dad did this. My mom wasn't even there. My dad wasn't there. My dad was so strict, and so I'm not going to be strict at all. And we jump out of aiming because someone else didn't aim the way you thought they should have, and so you're just not going to aim at all. I want you to be really careful to know that an abuser dad doesn't mean you have to be one, but it doesn't mean that you just take the back seat and don't do anything and you're not ever going to even sit on my lap. See, we jump into other ditches because we see someone else, or maybe we were the arrow that got aimed wrong. Every kid, church, needs training. Every child needs training. Proverbs 29:15. To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. Not just the spanking. I want you to see this. The discipline of a child produces wisdom. How does it produce wisdom? Because there was instruction given. There's instruction given. I asked my wife, and I asked her this for a reason. I'm trying to dig myself back out of the hole. But I asked her this just a second. Yesterday, I was watching my son-in-law give instruction to my 2-year-old granddaughter. And she said, I want you to know, here's what he said, I heard him. Nobody wants you to waller all over them. I'm like, she don't know what waller means. This is what's going through my mind. And so later I asked my wife, what do you think about that? Well, she may not have known what it means, but if he just spanks her all the time and doesn't give her instruction, she's not ever going to figure out. And I said, I'm going to use that. Because that's exactly yes, discipline has to happen, but discipline without instruction doesn't do anything. We're going to stop this behavior, but we're not going to aim him to another one. You're going to get a whooping for what you just did. That's fine. I understand we didn't hit the mark there. But what we got to do is we got to set the mark. Just because your arrow fell out doesn't mean you don't get it back in there and aim it correctly. You are to aim your child. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your children and they'll give you a peace of mind and you'll make a heart glad. You'll make your heart glad. They will always, always look sweet when they start out. Come on, kids look sweet when they start out. They're just precious. All the pictures on Facebook are little precious pictures. They're like, oh, look how precious. I wish my kid was like that. That's only 1 second in time. That's all you're seeing. The rest of it is them working on the aim. Working on the aim. You got to aim your child. But see, they all have a problem. They have a sin problem. They have a sin problem. That's why you get them to Jesus. He'll take care of the sin problem, and then you teach them by aiming them to get them where they need. Am I making sense to anybody today? See, we're wondering why our generation is where it's at. Well, we just need to get them saved. Getting them saved is, yes, a primary action of the church. But just getting them saved and baptized is all we've been doing for years. And the church isn't aiming them anymore. I want you to see that the goal of Christian Ministry Church is to aim some kids. Help in this process. Make church a priority. Make Bible reading through your week a priority. Make family devotion time a priority. Make blessings of God a priority. You know you're the only God they see. As you introduce them to Jesus and they take care of their sin problem, know this, blessings only come to them by you, the parent. That's how blessings come to you. If all you're doing is disciplining and you're missing the instruction and you're missing the blessing, then what you're doing is you're going to make them hate you and everything that has to do with the Bible in a very short time. I used to be so frustrated because nobody disciplined their kids. Now we've got a church full of people, and a lot of people I'm around do a great job disciplining. But how are we doing with instructing? And how are we doing with blessing? We've got two generations of children who I'm sitting here and have watched who have not aimed in our society correctly. We've got generations that didn't aim correctly at all. And now here's what I'm seeing. No aiming at all. See, we had two generations that didn't aim right. And now we've got a generation that's not even aiming. There's no aim at all. If you have your Bibles, Galatians 5, and I'm not just starting. That sounds like what I say at the beginning of a message. I'm getting close to done, but I want you to know when a child is not aimed, flesh takes over. When a child's not aimed, flesh takes over. When you follow the desires in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Let me tell you what another word for result is. The fruit is very clear. When you follow, now this isn't just for kids, this is for every one of us. Your results are very clear when you follow your flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. You know, anger's right there with impurity and lustful pleasures. Selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. That's not an inclusive list. Just a bunch of other things just like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's Galatians 5:21. Anyone doing these things aren't going to inherit. This talks about what will happen if you don't deal with things that are in your flesh trying to take over. There's a lot of flesh things. And this is what happens if you don't. It doesn't mean that you're not a born-again Christian. It means that your flesh has an appetite. Your flesh has an appetite. Your flesh has an appetite and it wants to be fed. And so what you've got to do is you've got to re-aim the appetite. You got to get it to where the child that's in training and being raised is being taught how to shut down their flesh and re-aim. Hey, I'm re-aiming you right now. That's not what we're going to do. Just know this, if I let you go to that party, I just shot you in a direction that I didn't need to shoot you. If we go do that and we don't do this, whatever that and this is, I just aimed you wrong. So here's what we're doing. We're going to make sure we're aiming correctly. And know that aiming is basically three areas. It's basically three areas. You can get it real quick. All it is this. It's discipline, instruction, and blessing. Discipline, instruction, and blessing at the right time and right place. You can shoot it right. I'm going to say there's a lot of parents that are failing because they want to be their kid's best friend. Yes. Instead of their parent. Yes. Heard a line several years ago. Kids have 100 opportunities for best friends and one opportunity for a parent. Right. One, you're it. Don't be their best friend. There's nothing wrong with a good relationship. And when they get out on their own, there's nothing like a friend in a child. Right now, I'm loving the friendship that I have with my kids. Yeah, there ain't nothing better than that. Me getting to go hunt yesterday was awesome. I just love the relationship that we have. It's a great relationship. But know this, that's on the end of the shooting. On the beginning, I was parenting. Proverbs 29:25, I want to spend just a second here. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Right now, that's a message for our whole world. Because we're scared, I say we as in people in general, are scared of what someone's going to think if we haven't got or we have got the vaccine. Oh, we going there? You bet. That's where we go every day in our world, and I'm going to preach from the pulpit. We're scared of what someone's going to think. My question is, have you heard from God? Don't fear what someone else is going to think, but be concerned about what God says. And if God told you, then go. If God told you no, then don't. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. Trusting the Lord is where your safety comes from. Well, should I wear a mask or should I not? Fearing people is a dangerous trap. I'm not going in trying to cause harm and havoc with people. What I'm trying to do is hear from God. And that's what I'm doing. The fear of man brings a trap. Now, let's just use that with kids. The fear of man. We have parents that are scared of what their kids are going to think if they say this or do that. Yeah. Why in the world are you scared of your kids? Fear God. Fear God. A child being taught and aimed correctly, I promise you, will like you when they turn 20, 21 years old. But I'm just going to go on record. There was a lot of time I spent with my kids that they didn't like me. Now, it wasn't that I was looking to not be liked, but I wasn't looking to be liked. I was looking to be the parent. I wasn't trying to make sure that their feelings were considered in the process. I was trying to make sure that God had me aiming them right. Are you seeing the difference? Not trying to be a jerk, I'm just saying, we've got parents that are scared to do something that God said to do because they're afraid of their own kid. Man, if I do this, I don't know what, I got to move on. Hebrews 12:11, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. And that's because God said it. But afterward, there's a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. There's nothing fun about some of the talks you have to have, some of the things you have to do. I never enjoyed, boy, I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to whip my kid. It's going to be so fun. That never went through my mind. And I don't think it does any parent. I just can't wait to go put my hand on it. I never wanted to act harshly to them. That wasn't something I enjoyed. And I never was like, oh, this is fun. Come on, do something wrong now so I can get on you again. That's not a parent's heart. That's never fun, but it's necessary at times so that afterwards there'll be a great harvest. The Bible's just so right. Correction is nothing more than a controlled environment for pain. But hear this, there's a comma right after that. It's a controlled environment for pain that causes a turn from doing it wrong to doing it right. A controlled environment, I'm not talking about abuse here. A controlled environment to where that's not fun for them. That's not fun for them. That's not fun. And it's part of us aiming. It's part of us aiming. It's not fun. Correction is nothing more than that. The world is very deceptive. Come on, it's fun. Do it. Come on, it's fun. Do it. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season, but then there's death. I understand some of the things are fun. The world's deceptive. Come on, it'll be fun. They're not lying. It will be. What they don't tell you is the rest of the truth. It's going to get you. The Bible says the wages of sin is death or loss. So the payment for sin doesn't always come by the first wrong action. Sometimes it heaps abuse over time. It's years down the road that you're where you didn't want to be. That's where we are in our generation right now. The reason why we're looking for freedom is because we got a bunch of people who didn't understand the cost of freedom. Yeah. We're one generation from freedom being distinct, and I'm not going to quit teaching it. How do we do that? We aim our kids right so that the next generation turn this thing around. We got to start doing something different for our kids to be aimed. Oftentimes, we've done wrong for so long and then bam, you get caught. And I didn't mean to do that. I know that. And I'm not calling you out for not. I'm talking about something that right now our world needs to hear. I understand you didn't mean to. But just because you didn't mean to speed didn't mean that you weren't. You were speeding. And you got pulled over. And you start trying to make every excuse for it. Come on. Well, I was late. I was in a hurry. I start thinking about my excuses as the cop is walking up to the window. Come on, I'm not the only one. And then I think, wait, truth sets me free. Truth was, I wasn't paying any attention. And I'm sorry, and I shouldn't have been going that fast. Yep, and I've still got a ticket. And you have too. But you just go pay the ticket, and then you move on. Or sometimes, by supernatural move of the officer, it's not God. He said, I'm just going to give you a warning. Thank you, God. But when you start expecting that, I'm not going there. Biblical correction. You deal with your kids to bring them a consequence after a wrong. See, you deal with them, and they need to learn that from the parent because you are the only God they see, as we've been talking about. You show them immediately so they don't get so far removed from what's right and wrong. Show them immediately, consistently, first time, always. I'm not teaching parenting. I'm trying to get us see a concept here. We've got to be aiming, and as Christian Ministries Church moves forward, we're going to always be aiming. Know this, you can't aim your kids in a direction that you don't plan on going. You just can't. You don't get corrected, and then you don't get corrected, and then you do this as a parent, and then you tell your kids not to do this, and the next thing you know, you're like, why'd you do that? Why'd you get in that? Because you did it. You modeled that behavior to them. You modeled it for them. You're not going to shoot them at a place you're not willing to go yourself. When you were a child, you'd see someone do something wrong, and you didn't know it was wrong as a child. So what'd you do? You wanted to do it. God's ways are only there to keep you from heartbreak. Parents, the only reason you're there is to keep your child from heartbreak. I don't want them broken. I want them being a winner. God's ways are there to keep you from heartbreak, and they're there to keep your child from heartbreak. Turn to one more scripture and we'll close. Hebrews 12, verse 5. Have you forgotten the encouraging word God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, this isn't for kids, this is for God's kids. As you endure this divine discipline, God discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his child at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, we didn't respect the ones who didn't, we respect the ones who disciplined us. Let me say it like this, or who aimed us. Shouldn't we submit even more to the aiming or the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good so that we could share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful, but afterwards there'll be a peaceful harvest of bright living. Verse 12, so take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Take a new grip on that bow. Take a new grip in life. Take a new grip. Let's take a new grip, straighten things out. Come on, get them tired knees. Quit your crying because the arrow fell off of the bow. I mean, quit. You got to do something different. Yet we've got to get to take a new grip with your tired hands. Strengthen those knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet, so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. We get correction, church, from the Word. We come to church. We feel uncomfortable. Why does that ever happen? Because the Word corrects us. The Word gives us some avenues to move forward and to think different. The Scripture's real clear. At times, He will be identifying your sin. Can I just take one other little quick road? If you won't take correction, then God says, I can't be your father. And I want him to be my father. So at times I have to get corrected in my thinking. I have to get corrected in what I was going to do and now I'm not going to do. There's just so much that sometimes has to change. And sometimes it's because I was thinking wrong, but I always look back and think, how many young people are looking at me? They're being aimed and their parents are trying to get aimed and their parents are trying to aim and they're trying to change. They're trying to do this and they're trying to do that. And I'm trying to do everything that I can. Well, here's what I can tell you. The best aiming you can do, parents, is to let God partner with you. Don't give up. You got to let God partner with you. Because when you shoot on your own, and I like this, and you shoot at a target, you hitting bullseye by yourself, not going to happen. I have watched, I have experienced these archery programs for years. Years ago, I was kind of associated with a company called Matthews who sponsored archery in the schools. And they had these archery. I mean, they have different schools in this area that have archery teams. And I love it because when they shoot that arrow out of the bow towards the target, wherever it hits, there's a distance. And here's how they know who wins: whoever has the least distance. Do you know what they call that distance from when the arrow hits to the bullseye? They call that distance sin. So the best job you can do as a parent is shoot, but the only way you're going to get them to hit bullseye is to eliminate sin. And the only way you can eliminate sin is to get them to Jesus. But God doesn't shoot the arrow. You do. Come on, I'm helping anybody today. And what I want you to know is we have such a unique responsibility that God's placed in our hand. And there's a way that you can put things in your kids that'll give you peace for a time. But if you don't introduce them to Jesus, that peace will soon be frustrated. Well, I had them in church the whole time growing up. Did they get introduced to Jesus? Well, I introduced them to Jesus. They got saved when they were 12. Yep, but did you shoot them correctly? Come on, there's a partnership that goes on through all of this. We've got to be aiming. And what you've got to know is the aiming process is the environment they're in, the discipline, the examples of who are in their life, the discipline, the instruction that comes through all that, the discipline, and then the rewards and blessings. Come on, you got to be rewarding and blessing your kids. When's the last time you said, hey, I just want to do something because you're a great young man. You're a great young lady. And I want you to know the blessing of God is on you. And he asked me to do this on your behalf. And maybe God's doing that for you this morning. Telling you the areas you can bless your kids. Parents, are you aiming? Here's what I can say. If you're a young person and you're in here and you go, but pastor, here's what you need to know. My parents are not aiming. They're messed up. They're not even in church. They're not interested. And we've got some of that right here. They're not even in church. And what I can tell you is embrace the Lord. If God is for me, who can be against me? Embrace the Lord and get yourself involved with the church. Because there's a lot of great father and mother examples right here that will still help aim you. Don't you use an excuse of an parent. God has placed you and entrusted you in an environment that you can be aimed, and God will do great things in your life. Don't give up on God. He's not giving up on you. He's got a plan for your life. So I ask today, are you aiming? Christian Ministries Church is aiming our children that God has created and trusted us with. Good word first. Come on, our church has got to have these messages. It'll make a difference. Y'all stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.